broadcasting comfortably from the Slumberland Furniture Studio. This is 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It is 12:35 in Beaver Dam. You are listening to Community Comment. Here's our host, Kevin Balogun.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, and welcome into today's Community Comment. Again, I am your host, Kevin Haugen. It is my pleasure to welcome into our Daily Dodge TV studio this afternoon our representatives of the Dodgeland School District, and to discuss a referendum question that will appear on the residents' ballot in there in the Dodgeland School District. With me in studio today are the District Administrator, Jessica Johnson. Jessica, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having us today.
As also joining us here today is the Middle and High School Principal, Dom Gisha. Dom, thank you so much for coming in today. Hopefully I pronounced that.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it. Thank you.
I was nervous about that one. That one caught me off guard, but it sounded like I did okay.
You got it. You got it.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank again our guests here with the Dodgeland School District for coming into our studio today to discuss an important topic that will be is just a few weeks away, a part of the spring ballot, the operational referendum question. We have had other school districts in the area come in to discuss their operational referendum questions. It's not an uncommon topic of conversation here. In the last couple of weeks, we just had on Columbus not too long ago, Waupun, also Randolph. So this is a familiar topic for our listeners and viewers. And today we're with the Dodgeland School District. But before we dive into the specifics of this referendum and the Dodgeland School District of itself, I want to give an opportunity for our guests to introduce themselves and just let us know how long they've been with the Dodgeland School District. And Jessica, we'll start with you.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Jessica Johnson. This is my third year as the district administrator for Dodgeland School District. However, before that, I was elementary principal for 11 years, and then I was middle school, high school principal for 3 years, and then Dom came along.
Great. Yeah, then maybe we can move on to Dom.
Yeah, so I'm in my second year as the principal at Dodgeland Middle School and High School. Previous to that, I spent about 6 years in the Lake Mills Area School District, where I was the high school band director and served 1 year as the associate principal at the elementary school, and started my teaching career in Johnson Creek before that. So
fantastic. Then again, I want to thank our guests here, Dom Gisha and Jessica Johnson with the Dodgeland School District, and to talk about the Dodgeland School District referendum question. And again, before we dive into the specifics there, maybe this is a good opportunity to highlight the district in and of itself, and what is the district comprised of? What do you with the grades you serve? And Jessica, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so Dodgeland's really unique. We are all in one building for K through 12th grade. Actually, we even have 3K as well, a tuition-based 3K program, because we saw childcare as a need in our area. The communities that come to Dodgeland School District, which is all in Juneau, includes Juneau, Clyman, Lowell, Reeseville, and Oak Grove. So a lot of communities come to us. As you see on the screen, we have just over 700 students. 17% of our students are open enrolled to our district, so they're choosing to come to Dodgeland. We are over half of our student population is economically disadvantaged, so there's a lot of things that we do to work to help overcome any barriers that our students come to us with and meet their needs. Just under 20% of our students are identified as having a disability, so they have what's called an individualized education plan. And then we are increasing in our number of students who come to us where English is not their first language. So just over 6% of our students are multilingual learners. And so we do other things to meet their needs as well.
Yeah, it's such an important note, Jessica, you made, that the school district really does comprise up a good portion of Dodge County. And I always assume that's why it got its name, Dodgeland School District, is because of just the amount of area. It's not just the Juneau city area. There's so many communities that make up that Dodgeland School
District.
Correct.
And I wasn't here when Dodgeland became Dodgeland, but Juneau is the county seat. Yeah. So I believe that's also where the name comes from.
Very appropriate. Mm-hmm. Very appropriate. And looking at, as well as some of just the successes that the district has seen as well, Dom, maybe you can touch a little bit about this as well.
Yeah. So we're really fortunate at Dodgeland that our students are are offered many different opportunities to succeed both academically and in co-curriculars. And so one of the big reasons for this referendum is to ensure that we can continue those programs going forward. And if you're watching online and can see the screen, you can see that our students are really pushing themselves academically, taking AP courses. We partner with a lot of colleges, MPTC as well, for students to get dual credit enrollment for classes. But on top of that, we have really, really great programs like FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. We've got Skills USA. We've got ice fishing teams. We've got athletic teams. We have all of these opportunities for our students to grow and become better human beings, which is our number one goal, is to help them grow.
Yeah, and the district obviously wants to keep all of those programs, mm-hmm. yes. all those courses available to the students that they serve. And to be able to do that, it's a good opportunity now to discuss sort of what led the district to get to this point. Obviously, going to a referendum is never something a district says, all right, this is our first choice of action. You know, obviously other avenues are tapped into and exhausted before the referendum topic even is brought up as an option. And obviously, as we look at other school districts here in the area, a lot of it ties into funding and enrollment, so financial support from the state. You know, when we look at Dodgeland School District, what are just some of the financial challenges that the district has seen over the last couple of years?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, you're seeing districts across the state that are having to go to operational referendum. Dodgeland is experiencing the same challenges that everybody else has, and we've worked really hard to not have to go to operational referendum. Those challenges are school funding challenges, state budget challenges, and something that everybody feels at home, inflationary challenges. So we're not alone in that. What is interesting about Dodgeland is that we've continued to be frugal over the years and to make reductions despite all of the budgetary challenges that we're facing, to try to not have to go to our taxpayers to increase what our taxpayers contribute. However, we are now among only 13% of Wisconsin school districts that haven't asked their communities yet for an operational referendum. We've put it off for many years. It has just finally caught up to us, and we don't have any other option but to ask our community for this.
Yeah, and Jessica, I believe it was the Dodgeland School District that had mentioned this in a press release, and you mentioned inflationary challenges. Mm-hmm. That is such a, as you mentioned, that's something that a lot of people can relate to. Whether it's the cost of groceries, paying at the gas pumps, and obviously if funding and support at the state level had kept up with inflationary changes over the last 5, 10, 15 years, the district would not have to go into this option of a referendum.
That's correct. If the state would have kept up with increases to match CPI, to match the inflationary index, we would be currently, we would have an additional $1.5 million in revenue this year. Yeah. Currently, we're operating on a budget deficit of $650,000, so we would be in the opposite situation of where we're at right now, yeah, if the state kept up.
And another important piece to this conversation, obviously, is that state aid. And just a couple of weeks ago, the governor proposed his next biannual state budget. Now the Joint Finance Committee will have the opportunity to work with that budget. And we are potentially still weeks away before even getting a document signed by the governor, which will also then determine what districts will see when it comes to state aid. But as we sit here today, the district can't put their planning for 2025-2026 school year on hold until that budget document is signed. You guys have to still keep moving forward. And, you know, depending upon what happens with those discussions at the state level, you still have to move forward. Like, that money is just not going to appear out of thin air.
Correct. I don't remember exactly, but the last time the biennial budget came out, I don't think we actually were notified what it was until maybe August. So we can't wait for that. I did look at what was in the governor's budget proposal, and there are a lot of items in there that would be so incredibly helpful for school districts. Two points that would make a huge difference for our school district would be if special education reimbursement rate was increased. That would make a significant difference for our district. Or just one piece he has is raising the low revenue ceiling by $1,000 per student. If that were the case, again, we would not be in this situation. We would not be asking our taxpayers for operational referendum. However, if, again, since we can't wait, we need to go to our taxpayers. However, if the operational referendum passes and this does come through from the state, yeah, we don't have to then levy that amount that is voted on. And our board has remained fiscally frugal. And if the state budget changes, we would not increase our taxes for our community if we don't have to.
Yeah, essentially, maybe this is a good opportunity to look at the wording of the referendum. Essentially, mm-hmm, that's why the word allows is in there. It's not saying we will. It's, mm-hmm, if it comes to pass and we need to do this, we are being allowed by the district and the residents that voted for this to exceed our revenue limits by this dollar amount. And Jessica, maybe if you want to sort of give an overview of what the district is looking to borrow and over the how many course of the years that this referendum will be in place for.
Yeah, so just to clarify, this isn't to borrow. This is to be able to exceed state revenue limit, which was set in 1993 based on what districts were spending in 1993. And our district was very frugal then, as many other districts were. So this is allowing us to be able to exceed that state capped revenue limit by $1.4 million each year for 5 years. And our board decided on that amount because that amount will keep us each year for the next 5 years of not having, actually, sometimes it is a little bit of a deficit, but it is keeping us above our fund balance policy of our district of being at 15%, which is like your savings account, to keep us from going into debt. So that's why the board determined that amount for the 5 years for our non-recurring referendum.
Yeah, so again, a non-recurring referendum that will exceed the revenue limits by $1.4 million for 5 years starting next school year.
Correct.
If that would go into place if approved by voters. And obviously now, you know, we got that out of the way. And how will the money be utilized? And you know, maybe we can look at Dom here and he can dive into sort of what the district is hoping to utilize these dollars for, if approved.
Yeah, so kind of piggybacking on what I talked about before is, you know, all of the great offerings that we have for our student is first and foremost maintaining a lot of those, but also is retaining the staff that we have. We have really fantastic staff in Dodgeland, and we want to keep them around. And so to do that, you know, we need that extra funding to be able to keep that going. That also allows us to keep class sizes at a manageable number. You know, that in turn helps our students with the way they learn in classrooms and just makes things just so much better all around. And then, you know, last, again, if you're watching, you can see that we want to be able to maintain the technology and the cybersecurity that we offer in our district. One of the things that really drove me to Dodgeland when I came was the technology offerings that we have, and we're very fortunate to have that. And we have been kind of a leader in that area. Our director of technology, Brad Modaf, does a really fantastic job of getting our teachers and our students set up to learn in the 21st century here, you know, and so we want to be able to maintain those things moving forward.
If I can add to that, an increasing cost that we've had over the years, that everybody has had over the years, is cybersecurity. Mm. And so that's a cost we didn't have years ago, and now it is incredibly important that we protect our data. So that has been an increase that the state hasn't given increases for.
And it's such an important note, Jessica and Dom, too, that it just highlights how things can change year over year. A couple years ago, cybersecurity, you know, insurance or just the protection was never something that a district had to budget for, mm-hmm, and put dollars aside to be able to have something like that in place. Mm-hmm. And here we are years later, and that's something that all of a sudden, well, that's not a cheap expense. That,
and it increases every year.
And it goes up, of course, every year. And it's, where are these dollars going to, mm-hmm, just come from, mm-hmm, to be able to keep the school district safe and, mm-hmm, protect them? And, mm-hmm, obviously, even the cost of transportation, that goes up every year. And, you know, you don't want to adjust school bus routes and cause children to have a longer ride home from school. There's obviously those dialogues as well.
However, we have, to as the transportation rates have increased, we have decreased our number of bus routes. And our parents can tell you, we pack the kids in like sardines to have as few bus routes as we can. And we already, our community is 109 square miles in our district. So we have some really long bus routes.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm, Also want to maybe spend a few minutes discussing about myths that are associated with referendums. Obviously, again, you know, this is not an easy topic to broach to a community. This requires a lot of work that goes into it to be able to share your message, to get this information out there. And I think a lot of it is like, well, what's the district been doing with all this money? And it's not because of misallocation of funds. You guys are doing everything you can to make sure those dollars are being spent in the best way possible.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just calling out the three myths that I have heard from community members that we're misusing funds. We are not. We have made the most significant cuts in the recent years of eliminating staff positions, eliminated our German program, which was a beloved program. We have made reductions in operations as much as we have been able to. So we're not overspending. When you look at our spending in comparison to the state, we are just right at the state average for what we spend per pupil, and we actually receive less per pupil in revenue from the state. So Dodgelin kids are receiving less than students across the state.
And you don't want that to impact what they're able to do at Dodgelin and what all they can achieve. Because this is such a formidable year for students, and we want to have as many doors open to them as possible.
Correct.
Again, our guests here on Community Comment today are with the Dodgelin School District. With us is District Administrator Jessica Johnson, as well as the Middle High School Principal Dom Gisha here on Community Comment to talk about an operational referendum coming up here on the April 1st ballot. Obviously, when we talk about referendums, another thing that a lot of people in the community would like to know a lot about is what that will impact on their wallet. Obviously, there's a tax component that comes with this. So obviously, there's the two sides of the coin, if approved, if not approved. But Jessica, what are some of the tax impacts in the Dodgelin School District that people will see if this referendum is approved?
Yeah, so first of all, I just want to say that our tax rate has decreased over the past 10 years, and we are currently at our lowest mill rate of 6.16. If everything stays the same in terms of our numbers and what the state is giving us, our tax rate would increase to 8.27. However, that's still one of our lowest documented mill rates that we've had in our community. So it's not that significant of a shift. 8.27 would mean, and I have to look at my chart, would mean an increase of 2.11 for our community members. So looking at home values. If you have a home value of $100,000, the annual increase would be $211. And you can see on the chart there, if you're watching, what that means for different home value amounts. However, we also have a tax calculator on our website. So if somebody goes to our website, the referendum page, they can plug in what their home value is to determine what would that increase be for their home.
Yeah, and it's obviously so hard to encapsulate how this will impact everybody on an individual level, because obviously this ties into what your property is assessed at, and that can vary wildly based off of where you live and what you have is on your property that's being assessed.
Yeah, it's an estimate based on current numbers. Correct, we, as a district, have no control over what home values are assessed at.
Yes, you have a formula that's given to you. You type in those numbers in, and this is what comes out. Again, that's based off of assessed property values. A lot of it's either off of $1,000 of assessed value, so that's where that $2.11 will come in. Obviously, then as you go up, a lot of homes are not worth $1,000, and that's it. You're looking at more into the six figures. So again, as Jessica said, $100,000, you're looking at a $211 annual impact. And then if you can do the math, just as that goes up $100,000 each, you can you look at the graph and see kind of what that will look like over the course of that referendum. And obviously, there is so much to cover when we talk about referendums. I feel like you could talk for an hour to 2 hours about this. And we only have a few more minutes left, but I want to make sure we highlight a couple of upcoming opportunities that the community can come out and ask questions and learn more about this referendum.
Yeah, so there's community meetings that are happening. Next week is going to be really busy. March 10th, we'll be at Kleiman Village Hall from 6 until 7. March 11th, we'll be at the Reeseville Community Center from 6 until 7. And March 13th, right at Dodgeland School Library from 6 until 7. And in addition, if you check out our referendum page on our website, there's a lot of other informal opportunities. There'll be a couple of virtual drop-in Q&As. I have a lunchtime and I have an evening time. And then we'll eventually post this virtually online as well if somebody is not able to attend an actual meeting.
Fantastic. So plenty of opportunities to show up and learn more. And with all the school districts that we have had the chance to talk to yet, the biggest thing that they've always said is be a part of this process. Obviously, you want to know what the community is thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, this is their opportunity to provide that feedback. Show up and vote. Let them know what you're wanting to be done here. Being a part of this process here over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure is an important thing to you, Jessica. You want people to show up and ask questions and learn more mm-hmm. so they go to the polls informed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Feel free to contact me. My phone number and email is on the website. I look forward to any questions that people have.
Fantastic. I might put you on the spot here. Do you have the website name ready to, or is it?
Dodgeland.k12.wi.us. And then there's a referendum tab on
Fantastic.
There.
Fantastic. Yeah. See, there you go. She was ready for that impromptu quiz that I just mm-hmm. gave her here. So, we're shortly running out of time here on Community Comment. So I want to thank our guests here on the program this afternoon. Again, joining us here on Community Comment with the Dodgeland School District. With us is District Administrator Jessica Johnson and the Middle High School Principal Dom Gisha. Both, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And that will do it for today's Community Comment.
Hit a home run with our first